Have you ever left a family gathering and thought, why does this hurt so much? Nobody yelled. There wasn't a big fight. But on the drive home, you felt anxious, your confidence dropped, and you couldn't stop replaying the event, trying to figure out why you feel so hurt and insecure about yourself, as if you'd done something wrong. But for the life of you, you can't figure out what. I know this feeling well. For years, I experienced it with my husband's family. Back then, the signs were so subtle, I didn't even recognize them. Now that I understand the patterns, I don't spend days wondering what's wrong with me. I know how to recover. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you're done with people-pleasing, tired of repeating the same patterns, and ready to learn what healthy relationships actually look like, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. At 65, I started learning the things I wish I'd known decades ago, like how to see the patterns, why we keep repeating them, and how to finally treat ourselves with the respect we always deserve. And somewhere along the way, I realized something that changed everything. When we don't understand our patterns, we pass them on. Not because we're bad parents, but because no one ever showed us anything different. That realization drives everything I do. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. So what exactly is mistreatment? When most people hear that word, they think of yelling, insults, or obvious abuse. But that's not always what it looks like. Sometimes mistreatment is subtle. It's being interrupted when you're trying to speak. It's having your accomplishments brushed aside. It's being held to a different standard than everyone else. It's being blamed when things go wrong. It's having your thoughts and feelings dismissed. On their own, these moments may not seem like a big deal. But mistreatment isn't defined by one event. It's defined by a repeated pattern that slowly changes how you see yourself. The reason so many of us stay stuck is because we were never taught there was another way to respond. We learned to explain our hurts away, keep the peace. Instead of protecting ourselves, we learned to tolerate behavior that slowly chipped away at our self-worth. For family scapegoats, this is especially difficult. Many of us grew up believing we were the problem. So instead of questioning the relationship, we questioned ourselves. One of the biggest turning points in my recovery was learning to stop looking at individual incidents and start looking at patterns. Instead of asking, what did I do wrong? I started asking, how do I consistently feel after spending time with this person? Do I leave feeling smaller? Do I constantly question myself? Do I feel drained? Do I feel emotionally safe after spending time with certain family members? Those questions change everything, because once I stopped focusing on individual moments, I finally saw what was happening, and that changed how I saw myself. For years, I would leave family gatherings on my husband's side in tears, heartbroken, hurt, angry. When I was younger, it would take me weeks, sometimes an entire month, to feel like myself again. I always seemed to be doing or saying the wrong thing. I honestly believed there had to be something wrong with me. Why else would they treat me this way? Looking back, I can see there were countless moments that reinforced that belief. One of them happened a couple of years ago. I remember planning and organizing several pizza dinners for my husband's aunt and uncle when they lived in a nursing home. They loved pizza, which wasn't on their menu. So I would order the pizza, pick it up, and bring in a nicer cup of coffee. And when the dinner was over, they gave my husband all the credit. All he did was show up. It wasn't about the thank you. It was about the same pattern time and time again. No matter how much effort I put into doing something for my husband's family, it never matters as much as my husband simply showing up. I felt dismissed which reinforced my belief that something must be wrong with me. It wasn't until I started researching for this podcast that I finally realized there was a pattern. It wasn't that I kept doing something wrong. I was responding to repeated patterns of their behavior. The dismissive comments, being blamed when things went wrong, the double standards. My accomplishments weren't celebrated, but were brushed aside. I wasn't trying to cause problems. I was simply being myself. But somehow, that never seemed to be enough for them. Once I started to recognize the patterns, my self-worth began to improve. For the first time, I stopped asking, "What's wrong with me?" and started asking, "How do I want to respond differently?" That's when I made the difficult decision to stop attending family gatherings on my husband's side. It still breaks my heart every time my husband, our kids and grandkids attend holiday dinners with his family without me. But I remind myself, it's just one evening, which is a lot better than spending days or even weeks recovering from mistreatment I've come to expect when I go. Putting myself first isn't selfish. It is survival and the first step toward trusting myself again. We've looked at the pattern. Now what? Because recognizing the pattern is only the first step. Change begins when you start responding differently. If you'd like a simple reminder of today's episode, download this week's free one-page companion cheat sheet. It's designed to help you recognize the pattern, respond differently, and trust yourself again. You'll find the link in the show notes or visit Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. Now, here are 5 ways to recover after difficult family gatherings. Number 1, recognize the hurt before it becomes shame. The first step is to recognize the hurt before you turn it into something about yourself. It's okay to say to yourself, "That hurt." Being ignored hurts. Being dismissed hurts. Being criticized hurts. Being treated differently than everyone else hurts. For years, I skipped over the hurt and went straight to shame. I told myself, "I must be too much. I must not know how to act properly. Maybe there's just something wrong with me." That's what shame does. It takes something someone else did and turns it into something you believe about yourself. The hurt came first. The shame came from what I told myself about the hurt. Recognizing the difference changes everything. And number 2, trust your experience, even if no one else does. One of the hardest parts about being the family scapegoat is waiting for someone else to admit what happened. You hope they'll apologize. You hope they'll acknowledge your feelings. You hope one day they'll finally say, "You're right. That wasn't okay." But most often, that day never comes. That doesn't mean your experience wasn't real. You don't need someone else's validation to trust your own experience. If you consistently feel hurt, dismissed, anxious, or emotionally unsafe in your family relationships, pay attention to that. Your feelings are information. Trust yourself enough to listen. And number 3, don't make yourself smaller after the event. This lesson came from my own journaling. Once I recognized the pattern, I realized I'd spent years changing myself to make other people comfortable. That's when I wrote these words in my journal. "I refuse to shrink myself because someone else is uncomfortable with who I am." That doesn't mean I became louder or meaner or had to prove my point. It means refusing to abandon myself just because someone else doesn't know how to value me. Every time you choose to stay true to who you are, you strengthen your trust in yourself. And number 4, choose where your energy goes next. You can't choose how someone treats you, but you can choose how you respond. For years, one family gathering would ruin my entire week. I'd rerun the conversation over and over in my head I'd wonder what I should have said differently. I'd carry it into tomorrow and the next day. Eventually, I realized something. The time I spent replaying what happened was time I wasn't spending on creating my life. Recovery isn't pretending nothing happened. Recovery is deciding it doesn't get to take any more of your time than it already has. You still might feel sad. You may grieve the relationship you wish you had. You may still wish things were different. But you don't have to let today's hurt steal tomorrow too. And number 5, reconnect with yourself. This is where recovery and healing begin, not because the hurt disappears, but because you stop making your whole life about the hurt. Take one small action, even if you're feeling crappy about yourself, and then another, and another. Maybe it's as simple as going for a walk, calling a friend, or journaling. Just something to empower yourself again. Whatever it is, each small step reminds you that there is more to your life than how someone treats you. Because the goal isn't to spend your life recovering from unhealthy relationships. The goal is to spend your energy creating the life you want. Kids don't learn how to respond to hurt from what we tell them. They learn it from what they watch us do. When your child sees you leave a family gathering hurt, but go back the next time as if nothing happened, they learn that's what you do with hurt. You don't listen to it. But when they hear you say, "That hurt," and then make a different choice next time, they learn something different. They learn that it's okay to acknowledge hurt and a healthier way to respond to it. You don't need to explain every adult relationship to your kids, but you can model the parts that matter. Let them hear you say, "That wasn't okay," instead of pretending everything is fine. Let them see you choose not to attend something that cost you your peace. Let them see you reconnect with yourself afterward, because someday your child will be in a relationship with a friend, a partner, or a coworker where they feel hurt or dismissed. And when that happens, they'll be far more likely to trust themselves if they watched you trust yourself first. If you've ever driven home from a family gathering, wondering why you feel so hurt, so anxious, or so insecure, I hope this episode helped you see that you're not overreacting and you're not alone. Mistreatment doesn't have to be loud to exist. Sometimes it's as subtle as being dismissed, being criticized, being treated differently than everyone else. And it's not one moment that breaks you. It's the pattern, repeated over years, that slowly convinces you something is wrong with you. You don't need someone else to admit what happened. You can recognize the hurt, trust your own experience, decide where your energy goes, and every time you do, you strengthen your trust in yourself. Recovery isn't about pretending the hurt never happened. It's about refusing to let it be your story. Whether you're starting to understand yourself more clearly or learning to do things differently, you're building the skills to grow into the person you're meant to be. Listening is important, but real change happens when you use what you've learned. That's why I've created a cheat sheet, See the Pattern, Now What, for today's episode. Join my free weekly email community. I'll help you name the pattern, point out how it shows up in your life, and how you can respond differently. Find the link in the show notes or visit lessonsforlifewithgrandmacade.com. And if this episode resonated with you, there's a link in the show notes to show your appreciation. Either way, I am grateful for you being here. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?